Greetings and salutations, good friends, and welcome to Blades in Paradise. My name is Dr. Winston Thoreau, and I will be your guide to the perils and pleasures of our paradise amidst the post-apocalyptic Pacific Northwest. Now, we'll get to the chicanery and shenanigans momentarily, but before we do, allow me to deliver some news. Blades in Paradise is an actual play podcast run in John Harper's Blades in the Dark, and we're sponsored by the developer Evil Hat Games. Use code BARDROCK10 at checkout to save on your order. Bardrock Network is sponsored by Dragon Master Games. Visit DragonMasterGames.com for all your CCG, TCG, TTRPG, and miniature game needs. If you enjoy the stories we tell, you can tip us on Ko-fi or visit us at patreon.com/bardrockcafe. By sponsoring the network, you not only help us provide an ever-expanding library of shows, but gain access to bonus content, the network Discord, quarterly backer games with the network community, and an annual swag bag. Now, without further ado, let's join Lizzie, Sterling, and Max, as well as myself, the crew of ESPN. Enjoy! Blades in Paradise is a dystopian story intended for adults. These narratives intentionally explore challenging and often difficult-to-listen-to topics. This campaign includes content warnings for gun violence, substance abuse, animal cruelty, child endangerment, and graphic description of physical injuries, including the eyes. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Blades in Paradise, the Blades in the Dark actual play podcast where a crew of ragtag smugglers undermine a steampunk dystopia one parcel at a time. I'm Paul, and I'm going to be your game master for this. As always, I'm joined by my wonderful players. Everybody, tell us about your character, one cool fact about them, starting with Jim.
Oh, hey everyone. I'm Jim. I play Dr. Winston Thoreau, who's a spooky ghost man who loves spooky ghosts and talking to spooky ghosts. And one fun fact about Dr. Winston Thoreau is that he knits and sews all his clothes. Because it's hard to come across fabrics and other natural materials, things are very expensive in Paradise. He often goes to purchase curtains and other kinds of loud fabrics to make his suits.
So would you say that over time his experiences made him one swift tailor?
It would definitely have made him one swift tailor, yes. Paul, I hate you and I love you.
And then, of course, we have our resident geriatric old man, Max.
Good evening. I'm Justin. I play Maximilian Graves. Fun thing about Max is he is a ball of chaos. He can be completely lucid and intelligent one moment, and be a doddering old fool the next moment. He's quick with his one single hand, and maybe a little bit on his wit, we don't know yet. But one nice thing about Max is this. He never, never forgets a debt. And if he feels like he owes you a debt, he's going to repay it, whether you like it or not.
Possibly in dead rats.
Rat me.
That's so sinister.
Also, we met his ex-wife last time, and now we know he's never missed an alimony payment.
Had you on your knees.
Yes, Layla. Begging, darling, please.
Hi, I'm Queen. I play Lizzie Calhoun, the hound of the group. And I don't really have a fact about anything, really. Because I forgot that.
Oh, well, now you gotta make it up. It's an improv show.
The gun that she carries is a family heirloom from her grandfather.
That's hot shit right there.
All right, there we go. I like that fact. Off the cuff sometimes is the best way to do it. And finally, Riley.
Hi, I'm Riley. I play Sterling, the brash and scrappy scoundrel. The perfect meal is a proving ground of spice and tears, followed by dessert of fistfight and beers.
Oh my god. I feel like crap now.
Very nice.
Nice.
You can have one bonus die on the first, on, well, like, that you can just use at will, because that was a good rhyme.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The closest thing to inspiration I can give you in this game that's not made by the Coastal Wizards. Right, last time, you all had some downtime before returning to Paradise after mostly thwarting a train robbery. After receiving some questionable medical care from Dr. Cornelius Pepper, you went your separate ways. When we left off, Max and Sterling had just bought a Beanie Baby from Max's ex, Layla, as well as some cheap dishware, before being approached by a tackily clad gentleman by the name of Julius Orange, who was looking to hire them. And that's where we're going to jump back in. As the two of you are standing outside of the antique shop, holding your Beanie Baby and a bag full of dishes, and you're standing in front of this very tackily dressed man who's clearly a steampunk pimp, And he says, I won't hire you for a job. That's where we left off.
Steam pimp.
It's a very different genre.
Yes. You said your name was Julius?
Yes, Julius Orange. Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Maximilian Graves. If you need anything moved, we can move it. If you need anything not moved, that's even easier. What can we do for you exactly?
I don't know if either of you know me by reputation, but I am a vendor of juice. Either you want to, you can go ahead and roll a survey or a study roll in place of, like, what would functionally be history to see if you know what juice is.
I was just going to straight up ask.
That's also fine if you like to. You can just straight up ask if you prefer.
Yes. So what type of juice are we talking about? Guava juice? Or something a little more exotic? Something that maybe is the adult equivalent to, what is it the kids used to call it? Crack cocaine?
Mango?
Oh, you're not wrong. He looks both ways, and, like, it's a pretty quiet street because, like, no one's shopping this antique shop in this smaller town. And he's like, so if you're not from, like, you look like you'd be familiar. He looks at Sterling, who's, like, a big mass of muscles. Like, you aren't one of my customers, are you?
No.
All right, so juice is this great powdered product I distribute around the West Coast. It dissolves completely in any citric juice, and it is like this powder. It's high in protein, it helps you build muscle mass, but it does cause some emotional regulation issues, for lack of a better way to put it. And it's what's the word I'm looking for? He whispers, not legal.
Oh, well, we can specialize. I believe that we have someone you need to speak with. He's kind of our, not our employer, so to speak, but he is the group's voice, if you will. That would be Dapper Young Man. What is his name, Sterling?
I think his first name is Doctor.
Ah, yes, the Doctor, the Good Doctor.
Oh, that Good Doctor. That's... You don't mean Dr. Pepper, then. Okay,
No.
But he gathers, like, you're taking him to Winston. Like, oh, you take me to your guy. We'll talk it over.
Oh, very good. Well, if time and place, and we can begin the negotiations. ESPN always ready to lend a hand where needed for a modest fee.
I feel like as he says that, Max removes his second hand. Anyway, so you guys embark to go find Dr. Winston Thoreau. But before we pan over to what he's doing with his second downtime activity, what is Lizzie doing with her second downtime activity?
I had used it to heal up.
Okay, you that's right, you used it, so you're good. So what is Lizzie doing now that she finished? Is she also looking for the doctor?
Yeah.
All right, so you guys are all going to rendezvous there. Dr. Winston Thoreau, what are you doing with your second downtime activity since you didn't use it to heal up? You just used the one freebie I gave you.
So, having found my good friend Ames, my farmhand, spiritual friend, I collect him and I bring him over to the town square because Ames and I are going to go do what I like to refer to as the good work. So, I take one look at Ames and I say, Ames, now... I have a standard partner that I have back in Paradise, but seeing as we're here in Salvation, I would like to get to know your fellow cohorts, your fellow spirits. In order to do so, I need to get to know the people who live here. Now, does that make sense to you?
I mean, sure, boss, but, you know, there aren't that many of us spirit folk around here, especially in the city proper.
I understand that, which is why... we need to do what is called, Ames, do you know what a, confidence man is?
No. There was, like, I put up a short pause there. like there was an entire minute of silence where you saw him rolling his eyes to the back of his head thinking what those words mean.
He just takes one, I take know. A good look at him, and I put my hand on his ghostly shoulder as if to pat him, but realize that I can't do so because he is incorporeal, and say, that's a good thing. Now, listen, I'm going to let you know how this works, because it really, quite frankly, works the same way every single time. We're going to go into the town square, and I am going to have a conversation with everybody there, and I'm going to draw attention to everybody, and I'm going to ask if anybody is having any problems or any issues with the spirits or the ghosts of Salvation. And there's going to be one person, there is always one person, who will come up and tell me that ghosts are not real. Of course they're not, because if there's one thing that you need to know about people, Ames, and one thing you need to know about the living, is that they ignore the realities of their situation, no matter how clear and transparent they are in front of their faces. Do you understand me, Ames?
He nods, but you get the impression he half understands, because that's like his capacity, but as much as he can, you think he understands.
That's perfect. So Ames, once that man comes up and we let him say what it is that he needs to say, I'm going to give you the signal. At that point, I would like you to just pull that man's pants down and then make yourself physically known to him. Now, he may be scared, he may be surprised, he may experience something of that of a religious epiphany, but what's more important is that everybody in the surrounding area will have an understanding in that I am able to communicate with those who are like you. And at that point, we will have a conversation with them, and we will find out what the problems are that the spirits of Salvation have. And from there, we'll be able to help them. Do you understand me, Ames?
He nods some more.
Now,
I pulled down the guy's pants, I got it.
But we do this for two reasons. One, because coin is in short supply and I have a very expensive lifestyle. And two, because there are good, good spirits that need help. There are spirits that have unrest, that have not quite met their perfect and final end. And let me tell you one thing, Ames. If there are spirits that are at unrest, it means that there are forces at work that are unkind, that are unsavory, and that need to be dealt with. So we head down into the town square, and at which point I grab an apple crate or a chair from a table at like a cafe, and I hop up on top, and I, at the top of my lungs, say, "Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Dr. Winston Thoreau. I am a licensed practicing phantasmologist and a board-certified spiritologist, and I would like to help you with all of the problems that you have with the spirits and the ghosts of Salvation. Is there anyone who seems to have a problem here? Now, I would like to say one thing to you, people of Salvation. I often see images that are a bit unclear and which may sometimes mean more to you than me. So if you help, we can together uncover new things about Salvation, about the problems that we have here, and try to fix things for you."
And sure enough, you have one guy who's like, actually, sir. And he's like this big, burly guy with, you know, it's weird because fedoras haven't come back in fashion, but he's wearing one. And he has like this really uneven beard that's like mostly on his neck. For some reason, he shaved the chin, but not the neck. And he's,
"Sir, is your shirt covered in silver dragon? It looks like screen printed dragons."
Yes, actually. He's definitely an anachronism in terms of things.
Is that a trilby? Is that a trilby on your head?
Yes, and he adjusts his hat very matter-of-factly.
Very nice. What can I do for you, sir?
"Spirits haven't been a problem anywhere in the city limits of any cities for some time now. They're a problem out in the wastes. They're not a problem we have here."
"No, apparently you misunderstand me, sir. I'm not saying that the spirits were a problem for the people in Salvation. I'm saying that the people of Salvation may have problems with the spirits. There may be loved ones that have gone missing. There may be souls and hearts that need to be reconnected with. I am saying that if you come and talk to me, I can find your loved ones for you. I can solve their problems for you. I can make sure that they're at a peaceful rest."
Roll sway.
All right, I got two in sway. Oh boy, that's two ones. That's a critical failure.
Yes, it is. So, yeah,
I'm gonna mark
some marks of experience. Like, I want to see your board credentials, sir, because I think that you are selling us snake oil on this whole ghost thing. They are such a rarity. There's nothing you can offer us. And at this point,
so at my credentials, sir. I reach into my pocket, and as I go to pull out my credentials, I give Ames the signal and instruct him to pull the gentleman's pants down.
Absolutely. You pull his pants down, and he is wearing, like, the tidiest of whiteies. And he immediately goes to, like, cover himself, but he can't figure out where to put his hands. Like, oh, dear!
Sir, you seem to find yourself rather indisposed. Did you happen to do that yourself?
No! And then Ames pops into visibility, and he's, like, looming over this robust gentleman. Sorry, rotund gentleman, I think is the word I wanted. And the guy's like, ah! And he, like, he shrieks at a register that I can't do that was just hurt my throat. And he runs away, but his pants are around his ankles, so he trips and falls in the dirt.
Oh, that's no good. No one likes that. No one wants to see that. Now that that's been resolved, and we understand that we are talking about real things and real problems and real people and real spirits, is there anyone that I can provide assistance to here today?
All right, your sway roll didn't go so well, so, like, I'm going to give you a second chance to roll at this time. It's, like, you were in control last time, so this is going to be risky.
Okay.
Now, like, you've provided, but I'll give you a bonus die, because you have demonstrated that you can, that, like, at least spirits are a tangible thing.
That is a 6-2-2.
All right, with a 6, you have, like, a couple people raise their hands, like, oh, yeah, you can help me with my spirit things. I had some loved ones, they were in a train accident some years back out in the wastes. If you could help out with them, that was the most compelling one. It's just like, oh, hey, a train wreck.
So I pointed the gentleman, is it a gentleman or a young lady?
This is a gentleman.
So I pointed the gentleman, and I asked him to come up and have a conversation with me.
Yeah, so he saunters on up. He's like a tall, lanky old man, gray, like kind of like a salt and pepper kind of gray, definitely malnourished, kind of like lanky, like he's like skin and bones, and he's got like a hunch in his back and walks with a cane. You get the impression he's slightly younger than Max.
So, sir, I sense that you seem to have lost someone in your life who may have been younger than you, who may have died before their time.
Yeah, you're right, sir. It was my son, actually. He was riding the train down to perdition, and there was a train accident.
And I'm sorry, and what was your son's name?
We are the Waldens.
The Waldens.
Yeah, my son is named Brooks. Brooks Walden.
Brooks Walden. Now, did the train accident happen to take place by the pond?
The pond.
The Waldens. Did it happen to take place by the Waldens down by the pond?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. The pond. Yes, there's a pond not too far from the... there was a problem with the train junction, I guess. They had routed some tracks, and the train actually dove into the pond. That's the problem. They just had train... They were laying tracks, and it wasn't aligned properly.
Well, sir, Mr. Walden, I am very sorry to hear about your misfortune. Now, would you like us to bring your son back up to you? Would you like us to deliver a message? Are you looking for a message to be delivered from him?
I'm sure my son, because of the way he died, I want to put his spirit to rest. You know, I want him to get closure, so whatever that looks like.
So, Winston at this point reaches into his jacket and pulls out a little bottle of tincture, and he hands it to Mr. Walden. And he explains to him, Mr. Walden, if you place 3 drops of this under your tongue every night, sooner or later, your son will reach peace. And Winston, so as the man is looking at the tincture, he pulls out a little notebook and writes down in the journal, Walden, train accident by pond, knowing that that's a spirit that he needs to connect with at a later point once he has the opportunity to do so.
All right, and you have just a bunch of people lining up like, oh yeah, like hook me up with some of that spirit juice. And you have a bunch of customers and you roll the 6 on its way, so I'm going to say you have your side activity here. Are you indulging your vice? Is that what we're doing?
Exactly.
All right.
So I'm going to roll my lowest, which is, so that's 2, and take the higher roll because it's indulging your vice. So roll your lowest score, which is going to be 2 dice because it's a 0. And then take the higher roll. That is going to be 5. So that's actually going to clear all but one of my stress bars.
Perfect. That's kind of where you want to be.
That's exactly where I want to be. And just for those of you who don't understand, Winston is looking to acquire as many spirits or the need for the ability to help as many spirits as he possibly can. So that way he has as many allies as possible moving forward. So the entire point of doing this con is not only to get, you know, the little bit of coin that he can, but also to learn about, you know, spirits that need help to be able to, you know, garner favors from them moving forward.
Right, and pretty much as your crowd starts thinning out, because lots of people show up to buy your spirit juice because they also want their loved ones. Turns out a lot of people like had passengers that were in that train accident a few years back. Because mm-hmm. yeah, obviously an entire train wrecked. You know, so they're also looking for closure for their loved ones. Turns out like you picked like a good crowd, like a lot of people, like working class people were on that train, and this is their families. So yeah, you get a decent amount of customers, and they kind of filter out. And as the crowd starts filtering out, you see you see Lizzie first show up, and then you see Sterling and Max accompanied by what you can only assume is some sort of steampunk pimp.
Enjoy what you're hearing. Rate us on your favorite podcatcher. Reviews on platforms like Apple, Spotify, or Good Pods help new listeners find our content. It's a completely free way to support the show. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody. Has this ever happened to you? Man, with this new age of peace, where are all the adventurers? I sure wish I could have someone to clear all the rats out of my basement, but these damned guys are too busy with, like, big interplanar stuff. Well, don't you worry. We at Jobbers Industries are here to fill that gap. I can't pay those big fancy adventure prices. Well, not to worry. We at Jobbers Industries have you covered with some slightly less than top of the line adventurers available at a reasonable, moderate price. Remember, at Jobbers, we're the best of what's left.
Jobbers Inc. is not to be associated with Damned or their affiliates at risk of litigational measures, but you can listen to the adventures of the contractors on your podcatcher of choice under the Ages of Damned title. Contractors who attempt to associate themselves as Damned members can and will be held liable for their actions. Contractors releases bi-weekly every other Friday.
Doc, we found this entrepreneur who doesn't know anything about us but wants to hire us, and I thought maybe you could take it from there.
Sterling, my good friend. Does your new friend happen to have a name, this entrepreneur?
Julius Orange, at your pleasure. And he holds out his hand. There's like not holding up for a handshake. He's got this oversized ring with like a sapphire on it that's like encased in like a little steampunk gear, and he looked like he's expecting you to kiss it.
I'm going to take a look at the ring, and I'm going to basically just kind of acknowledge it and give him a light fist bump, and then take a step back. Mr. Orange, I am amazed to meet your acquaintance, sir. I have heard so many good things about you from the people in town as I've been walking around. There's have been on the lips of babes the orange juice. Heard so much about you.
Yes, my operation around here does run a little bit like clockwork, you know.
Wait a second, you're giving the juice to babies?
I mean, it's literally helped them grow to be strapping young people.
Oh.
You see a strange look come over Max's face, and he's like,
"Sir, I need to apologize. Do you mind if I approach you?"
Oh, no.
He's going to be like, oh, certainly, I have no reason to think anything else of you, and I will point out before you approach him and do anything like you did to Swifttail, you are in a crowded public square.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, just reminding you for spatial awareness purposes.
Yes.
Oh, no.
You see Max as he walks back up towards Mr. Orange,
And he's like, "Sir, I have to express my deepest condolences. Who will you be survived by?"
He's like, "I'm sorry?
Can I grab Max?"
You absolutely can. Go ahead and roll. I guess you guys would roll opposed. What is this stat here? Brawl or wreck? Brawl, I think, is what we're called.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Okay,
yeah,
so...
yeah, I got 1d6.
Skirmish. Skirmish is in this game.
I'm helping Sterling.
All right, so you go ahead and mark one stress, Lizzie.
I got a 4.
4.
Does the help mean I
add one
more
d6, yes.
Okay, highest was a 5.
All right, so you successfully pull Max back before he can attempt to murderize Julius Orange.
It's time for my tapioca. Oh, thank you.
Now, Mr. Julius, I would first like to apologize for my colleagues. You see, Maximilian, he is incredibly talented, but he is also... I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. Not exactly himself, and he has not had his nap. It comes with the age, I want you to understand.
Penile.
He needs
I
to be fed.
Hungry.
Exactly. And I hand him a little Nutri-Grain bar or a power bar or whatever it is I have in my pocket.
Oh, dehydrated
rat. I'm going to lead him a few steps away. Come over here and smash some plates with me.
So I'm told you're the one to speak to, Doctor. It's Winston Thoreau, from I heard from your pitch a few moments ago.
Yes.
About having my package shipped.
Yes, I am. I'm the supervisor here at ESPN. I am the one in charge and the important one. I understand. Everyone wants to speak with me. What kind of packages are you expecting to be shipped? How large? What size? How illicit? These are all things that will help us negotiate our price, sir.
Certainly. So, I don't know how familiar you are with my business. I am a juice salesman.
Yes.
And I have several cartons of juice, mostly in some that's been distributed in serving size boxes, juice boxes, if you will. You know, and I'm looking to ship it back to your home city of Paradise. It's my understanding you all just got here from Paradise.
We did, yes. We took the train, and it was an abysmal experience. I would not recommend it.
I had fun on it. It was fantastic.
Max may or not have killed 1 or 3 people, but that's beside the point. Now... How are your juice boxes contained? Are they in nondescript cartridges? Is there a lot of corporate branding? Is it something that we need to be worried about? Or are you able to provide it to us in a rather discreet way?
I mean, it is clearly marketed. I'm sure you're familiar with Julius Orange's fantastic juice line. And you know, this is we have a couple different options. We have raw berry. And he pulls out like a strawberry flavor. And we have blood orange. And he pulls out like orange juice. And similar like over the top names that roid ragers would name juice bottles.
Tastes like iron to me. I'm not my favorite.
Oh, do you actually drink some?
I've tried it. It's not for me.
All right. So you're familiar with my product then. Excellent. So you know exactly how illicit this product is.
Oh, it's horribly illegal, yes.
Yes, well, I mean, the folks in the city don't know that. They, you know, we have 2 juice lines, you see, and we have the, this is the discreet juice line, the one that we distribute on the streets. You know, anything that usually gets checked, like, we have, like, legitimate juice, just juice without the additional protein package added to it. So, like, that's how I kind of keep my business affairs on the legitimate side. I'd need someone to escort the package there. You shouldn't have any problems at customs. You know, the first crate is the one they'll probably check. That one is just full of the regular juice. And then the special juice is the other crates.
So how do we keep those straight? Would we have a marker of some type so we don't mix them up?
I mean, the crates are clearly labeled one of four.
One of what?
Exactly.
One of two and two and two.
If it's 2 of 2 and 1 of 2, that's going to get confusing for me. I don't do the numbers. I was publicly educated, you know.
Sir, you mean to tell me that you were alive when there were public schools?
I was educated at home.
I think so.
And Julius leans over to Dr. Winston Thoreau is like, how old is he? He remembers public schools.
I have asked him so many times how old he is, and he has never been able to give me a number that I can pronounce.
See, I remember a few things. Public schools, a good cup of coffee, your mother.
my mother Clementine, yes. I didn't realize you knew my mother.
She was a darling.
I'll have to speak with her sometime.
Now she's lost and gone forever.
Sad, but true.
Now, so, all right, let me collect my colleagues, my employees, and we'll have just a brief sidebar, and then we'll get back to you, Mr. Julius. From what I'm hearing from you, it seems like we'll be able to do this for you, no problem. I have some questions about your mechanics, and quite frankly, I feel like I could, with my project management skills, improve your illicit distribution like tenfold or maybe 100-fold. That's another discussion for another day. Gentlemen, come on over here. So, we just have to take the train back to Paradise. How do we feel about carrying this man's two boxes of cargo? This seems, compared to what we had to go through last time, suspiciously simple. Like, almost like there's something waiting for us that's going to be a big problem later on down the line that we are not anticipating at this moment.
Well, if I may.
I agree, Doc, but I don't know what else. It's money.
We just had a pretty big day. What are the odds something else will happen?
What's the worst that can happen?
Lizzie, you made a great point. Not only is it money, but it's money that we do not need to share with our employer. Mr. Julius, I have one last question for you before I agree to your proposal. How much coin are you proposing that we earn for making this delivery for you?
Here's the thing. I spoke with your competitors at Subway, and they said they could do it for 4 coin. So that would be 1 coin for each of their couriers. Can you do better than 4 coin?
I can do better than Subway.
Ah, sir, are you being fresh with the folks at Subway?
I would never be fresh with the folks at Subway because the folks at Subway would never be fresh themselves.
I've often wondered what they use because tuna went extinct years ago, yet they still sell tuna sandwiches.
I'll tell you what, if you want your product to be discarded and captured by customs and you want to have inspections being placed upon you, you can go ahead with Subway. Quite frankly, I mean, everyone knows what they get when they're going to go in there. They walk in there, they get $5 worth of satisfaction, they're not quite happy with themselves, their tummy's a little upset at the end of the day because, quite frankly, they don't feel good about the fact that they went in there in the first place, but at the end of the day, yeah, it gets done. Or you can come with us, and you can feel joyous, and you can feel satisfaction, and you can feel secure that your package will be delivered exactly where it needs to be. We will charge you 4 coin, 1 per each of us, but we'll get the job done quick and fast and well.
All right, go ahead and roll sway to convince him that you're going to just do a better job than Subway for the same price.
All right.
May I assist him with that?
All right, go ahead and mark a stress.
That is 641. Thank you for assisting me.
You're welcome.
All right. Yeah, so he looks you over. He's like, you know what? You know, I don't believe what that famous Nathan fellow was saying about you. You guys seem like you're you're much better choice than Subway.
Famous Nathan.
So yeah, you have, yes, famous Nathan. He was the one who recommended Subway to me, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna start with ESPN first. They are the more reputable thing. I just got the price quote from Subway, but
famous
I was only
Nathan
gonna give them the business.
Sells cut up pieces of rat and grain alcohol to people and calls it rat schlager and calls it medicine, and he thinks that. Okay, famous Nathan, okay. And I just walk away off of it.
Are you walking away from the deal?
No, I leave my colleagues to finish negotiating the deal. Okay. While I calm down.
You'll have to excuse our rather eccentric voice for us. He speaks highly of you and your product, and we would be most grateful to do this job for you, and we will do it right. We just got some deliveries done today, so our schedule is free. We will do it ASAP.
Fantastic. So what you want to do is you're going to take the space to my distribution center in Paradise. You're going to be looking to meet with a lady named Strawberry Shortcake. So if you are, she'll make sure you receive your coin payment.
She sounds sweet.
She is very sweet.
Like Shortcake.
She is a little bit on the petite side, but a very sweet lady.
I'll tell you what, Mr. Julius, not only will we complete your delivery in record time with no complications whatsoever, but once we finish it, I would like you to bring it back to famous Nathan and tell him that, quite frankly, he can shove it up his ass.
What my colleague means is that we appreciate him trying to do his business otherwise, but when you've had the best, all others seem to fall away. Just the cream of the crop, as it were.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. Famous Nathan makes me so frustrated. He just makes me so mad, Max. He just makes me so upset.
I understand, and I pat him with my single hand, and I'm like, you'll see. Don't sully yourself, Mr. Orange.
I just hate him so much.
I know. Don't blow the deal. May I speak to you momentarily to the side, Dr. Thoreau?
Of course, Max. Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry, Mr. Orange. We will be happy to get started immediately. If you have any preparations you need to make in the meantime, we will be happy to assist with those, or we can just meet you at the station.
Yes, my distribution center will have a cart ready for you to unload the crates from. And I know at some point some of you said two crates. There's actually going to be four crates, one of the legitimate juice and three of the illegitimate. So one of four, two of four, three of four, four of four.
Are you changing the negotiations?
All right.
No. One of your cohorts said there'd be two crates, and I had actually expressed there were going to be four. So I'm just clarifying for you guys. There are four crates.
All right.
And only the first one is legit.
Yeah, the first one is specifically there to fool customs.
Very good. We shall see you anon then.
Fantastic. He struts off with his pimp cane off in the direction of his distribution.
Good doctor, Dr. Thoreau.
Yes.
May I be honest with you for a moment?
Of course you may. I would expect nothing less, Maximilian.
Well, then I would think you were a fool because you'd never know what to expect from me. But you're not a fool. Therefore, I'm going to put this succinctly. Do you still have the laxative? No, that's not the right word. The juice that they were going to give us to help heal us?
Oh, of course. Famous Nathan. Famous Nathan's famous tincture, miracle tonic, the grain alcohol with the hunks of rat with inside of it. Yes, of course I do.
Absolutely.
And I pull out this really brownish, bluish bottle, which has like a really ornate label. But if you look inside, it's something that looks like when your children are playing in the kitchen and they mix all of the different various items in your fridge together and they're like, ha-ha, gross drink, and they want you to have a sip of it. And I hand it back to Max and I say, is there a specific reason you're looking for this, Max?
I call it morbid curiosity.
Perfect.
I don't really like the idea of... It's rather unsavory, this concoction of Julius's. I don't like it. I know we need the coin, but maybe if a sample of the addictive stuff were to go missing in transit, who knows what could have happened. But should it be reverse engineered, just like Nathan's, perhaps we could figure out a way to make our own, perhaps non-addictive, more beneficial, shall we say.
Something that may be useful but not pollutive.
Correct. Correct. My thoughts exactly.
This is the most amazing thing about you, Max, is that for everything it is that you have to say, every once in a while there's this moment of clarity that is just as beautiful and as refreshing as the clearest summer lake. And I love that about you. I just love that about you.
Max who?
Now, since at this point Max has had described to him in detail what the juice does, I'm going to go ahead and just, Max, you get your one bonus die to roll survey to remember the before times to get an idea of what this stuff is in relation to stuff you know.
All right. Oof. A bonus die. Oh, not bad. I got 5 as my high.
Yep. And with a 5, based on what he described, you would recognize this as similar to anabolic steroids combined with cocaine and PCP. It basically turns anybody who drinks it on the regular into a hulking, muscular rage monster that can't be reasoned with.
So me during college. Gotcha.
Yeah, and it is highly addictive, and especially because I know you expressed concern for giving to children, it will cause them growth defects. Because that's what happens when you give anabolic steroids to children.
Yes.
So you're aware of all of this, and you have an idea, like, oh, this is how this stuff works.
If I remember, good doctor, this is how this all works, and we don't want children with enormous foreheads, or as they used to say back in the day, 5 heads, or shrunken testes, or breasts on their back, or a nose where it would be improper to show in public.
I understand your concerns, Max. Our job here is to get the juice where it needs to get to. Now, there's nothing in our job description that says that once the juice gets to where it needs to get to, that it needs to stay there.
I like the way you think.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, young man, I do. Now, if you could tell me where I am.
Salvation, Max. We are in Salvation. We are getting ready to head to the train station to go back to paradise.
Right. Right, I sometimes lose track.
That's okay, I'm here. Very good. I'm here to keep you. I'm here to keep you on board.
Very good, very good. And will you be tucking me in bed tonight?
As always.
Excellent.
Max kind of leans up and, like, gives you a little smooch on the forehead and waddles away.
Well, well, well. You hear from behind you, Dr. Winston Thoreau, as you're approached by a man clad in a Irish green suit with a Irish green bowler hat and gold trimmings and a gold cane. If it isn't the good Dr. Winston Thoreau.
Famous Nathan, as I live and breathe. What on earth are you doing here, other than haunting my dreams and making me furious?
I just got word that you took away the Orange Julius contract from my friends at Subway. Do you think that's wise to...
I have two questions for you, Nathan. One, were you just standing like 10 feet to the left because this just happened like 5 minutes ago? So I don't understand how word of mouth could have spread up to this point. And two, why do you care? What do you have to do with Subway? This is none of your business other than the fact that you dislike me.
For starters, they give me a very nice referral fee when I send business their way. Second of all, I did not just send feet away because what happened was Mr. Orange, after he left your company, contacted me and asked me to reach out to Subway on his behalf and let him know that they were not going to do the contract, which I've already sent my friend Hines to do.
Well, that's good. You understand that I'm much more persuasive than you, and I'm much more reassuring than you, and people have much more confidence in me because they like me better, because I'm cooler and smarter and more better looking.
And
don't tell Snake Oil.
So I'd actually like to place a bet with you, and I've spoken with Mr. Orange about this bet. Why don't we actually, because he has more crates of cargo he was going to have ready to send, but he was only sending four with you because he didn't want to overwhelm you all with too many things. So I told him we would do it for half price. But let's do this. We're going to have a race, see who gets the most packages to the strawberry shortcake lady the fastest.
Okay, and I have some stakes for you.
Okay, I'm open to negotiation.
In the event that I win, you sign over the hospital contract to me. All the tinctures, all the tonics, all of the medicines that get sent over to the hospitals throughout the area, I will provide them with the medicine. And I'll provide them with actual medicine and not just rot gut.
I will let you have Paradise, your home turf.
Fine. Unfortunately, fine. God, I hate saying fine to you. You're such a weasel.
In exchange, should you fail to deliver the packages in a more efficient and effective manner than my friends at Subway, you will forfeit the coin for that job to Subway, of which I will get a cut.
The only cut that you're going to get is from the nick of my friend Maximilian's blade. Deal.
And he shakes your hand.
I do the weird thing where, like, you stick a finger out and you, like, tickle their hand to make them feel uncomfortable when I shake his hand.
Yeah, and it's like he goes to the same thing to you, so you guys kind of, like, do this, like, secret handshake thing. You're both waggling your fingers at each other instead, and it's really awkward.
I just pull my
and
hand
he
back awkwardly.
His, like, look at him, and like, he just exchanges this look like this has happened every time you two do this. Like, you both always go to psych the other one out, but then both fail.
Can I roll a tune to have Ames pull his pants down?
You certainly can. Go ahead and roll a tune.
5 and a 3.
With 5 and a 3, Ames appears and, like, goes to pull this guy's pants down.
Yep.
But he actually, like, locks up as he grabs his belt. It's like, no. Famous Nathan's anti-spirit tonic. I have some for breakfast every day, my friend. And Ames just kind of, like starts gyrating and dissipates into the ether.
Very well. Your pants may be intact for now, but your contracts will not be.
Can Max have sauntered up behind Mr. Amos quietly?
Roll prowl.
And tabletop him.
Could I help by shaking my chest and Nathan?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and take a stress as he ogles you.
No need. I got a 6 and a 5.
All right, you are behind Famous Nathan.
So as he turns around, he's just face to forehead because Max is rather short, being hunched over and all. But Max looks straight into Mr. Competitor and goes,
Oh dear. I'm afraid of what your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Wally Amos, would say about you. You know your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, don't you? I believe he came from the land called Italy, where he made a name for your family. It'd be a shame if something happened to his spirit.
You mean this spirit? And he pulls out a little bottle that's got his great-great-great-great-grandpa's soul trapped in it.
Oh, God. I can't believe I'm going to do this because I have zero in all of these. I would like to steal his great-grandfather's spirit and then run towards the train station and say, let's go, guys!
Okay.
Can I help?
Sure. Roll.
I'll take some more stress.
I think it's going to be finesse.
All right. That's going to be a zero. That's zero dice for me. So that's going to be actually zero. So plus with the help action, that's going to be one dice. I'm going to push myself. So I'll roll two dice.
I was going to say, Riley, would you like to donate your one bonus die for the episode you have not used to this roll?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that makes 3 die total for the good doctor.
3 dice, jeez, from 0 to 3. This is why I better hit this. All right, to steal a man's great-great-grandfather's spirit and run away to go ahead and get on a train go ahead and steal the contracts for his the hospitals that he's delivering Rakta to. All right, let's go. That is a 6 and a 6 and a 1. That is a critical success.
Right. Yeah, with a critical success, you basically run up, grab it, and because Max was right there and Vane didn't say anything, you basically just kind of plow him into Max. He topples to the ground because Max definitely saw it coming and moved out of the way. So you basically reverse tabletopped him. And you got, and I'm going to assume the rest of you seeing this make a break with it off of that crit success and also run for the train station.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm doing the thing where, like, you know, when you see someone, like, running away and they don't know how to run, where it's like my legs are kicking to the side and my jacket's flipping up behind me. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like,
I've got a jar of old fart. I've got a jar of old fart.
Well, if it helps any, I was about to shoot that jar.
Yeah, so he's face first on the ground. He's, like, trying to get himself up. You guys are, like, long gone by the time he gets to his feet. And that's going to be where we call it for the evening. Thank you all for playing. This has been Blades in Paradise.
Blades in Paradise is Paul Kinter as Master of Ceremonies, Justin Langston as Maximilian Graves, Faith Queenie Long as Lizzie Calhoun, ML Riley as Sterling Ackred, and myself, Jim Remus, as Dr. Winston Thoreau. Dami Widener is our editor. You can directly support this show at patreon.com/bardrocknetwork, starting at just $3 a month. You can join us on Discord, you can come play games with us, we'll even send you network swag at the end of the year. You can visit our sponsor, Evil Hat Games, and use code BARDROCK10 to buy cool games like Blades in the Dark, and let them know we sent you. You can support the podcast for free by sharing us on social media, word of mouth, or rating and subscribing on your favorite podcatcher. Lastly, you support us just by listening. Thank you for listening, dear friends.